Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by the founders of Lines, Jiwon Ra and Crystal Pfeiffer. Lines is a tattoo and fashion atelier located in Bowery, Manhattan, New York. It is also a space that offers spa wellness services, fashion products, education, and events. So hello to both of you, Crystal and Jiwon. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. And before we get started, for those who are watching, you obviously can see who's who when they're speaking. But for those who are listening, can you take turns saying who's speaking in terms of your voice and your name?
I'm Jiwon Ra.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm Crystal Pfeiffer, Jiwon's business partner.
Perfect. So I understand what Lines is, but I feel like you guys do so much with the space. So why don't I hand it over to you, Jiwon? In your own words, can you describe what Lines is?
Lines is first and foremost a tattoo shop, but it's not just a tattoo shop. It's art, it's fashion. In the simplest terms, it's a fashion retailer, an art gallery, an events space, and most importantly, our favorite accessory, tattoos.
And I know that, Crystal, that was your idea to start a tattoo shop. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, sort of through my own journey as a fashion designer. I've worked for over 20 years in brands creating garments that people wear. And when I started tattooing, it felt really like the most special garment to design. Hence, Jiwon and I came up with our slogan for our business, the highest form of fashion design. Both of us were fashion designers by trade in our background. And at Lines, really, we want to change that narrative that tattoos are not an underground subculture reserved for a specific demographic of people. They are for everyone, and they are fashion. They are here to stay. And we really want to be the most approachable place to come receive that art and that fashion. We felt that there was a big miss in the market on what tattoo shops looked like or what they could be or what they could offer. And while Jiwon wasn't a tattoo artist, she could see this huge need in general as a fashion segment and what she could bring to the table to surround next to the tattoos.
I love that story, but I have to, let's backtrack. How did both of you meet? I think your backgrounds are super interesting.
Everyone's first next question. They do see the big age gap between us and that's their first question. Yeah, we met about 4.5 years ago. I actually interned with Crystal. We met in the world of corporate fashion design. And she recruited me from when I was still at Parsons, I think around the first time that I first met you. And we worked together. We were really aligned in terms of our ethos of what we believed in, what fashion should look like for the long-term benefit of our earth, the world that we're living in. We are really committed to sustainable and circular ethical practices in fashion. And through that, even after we both left that job, we really connected and worked on so many projects together. So that's how we met. And she reached out to me about 2 years ago for Lines, the concept of Lines, actually right after the pandemic. And it was something, it was a world that I had no experience in, you know, tattoos. I didn't have any until 1 month ago myself. And when she first brought the idea to me, we were, I think, up in Harlem eating like a lobster what was it? Like a crawfish.
No, we went to Queens.
We went to Queens, had a crawfish bowl. She sat me down. She was like, G1, I have an idea. Like, this idea has nothing to do with me. But she really explained it and in a way that, you know, there's so many similar issues that are in the fashion industry and the tattooing industry in terms of, first of all, things not being accessible to a lot of different types of communities, and also our shared passion for sustainable living made tattoos, in my mind, which I also have come to believe is to be like the highest form of fashion design. Yeah, there's like no disposable anything in tattoos. You don't end up throwing anything away. It's a way to accessorize yourself. It's something you wear on your skin for the rest of your life. And that's really beautiful. So I got my first tattoo here at Lines about a month ago, which is very exciting.
Did Crystal do your tattoo?
No, unfortunately not. There was a, we do residencies at Lions. So there was a really talented master Italian tattoo artist called Siri. Shout out to Siri. Thank you so much for doing my first beautiful color realism watercolor style tattoo. I'll send you a photo later if you want to show the guests.
Yes, I saw it on Instagram Reels and it is stunning. It's beautiful. But you said that you came from, like, you never really had an interest in tattoos, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that, you know, I grew up in a very conservative Asian household. And as that goes, typically, tattoos have been demonized a little bit in my mind, from what I grew up with. And I have come to unlearn as I really understand and have been seeing that tattoos are such a deeply meaningful and spiritual experience to some. And I think that's kind of what the mission of Lines has grown to be too, and like to help to demystify and de-stigmatize tattoos a lot. I'm like a prime example of someone that had no experience or knowledge about tattoos, but as I come and see clients come in, I see that, you know, people are usually going through something pretty traumatic or have going through a rough time when they get a tattoo. And we wanted to create a safe environment, a very inclusive space where, you know, it's not your typical rock and roll, scary tattoo parlor. It's presented alongside art. It's presented alongside fashion, all of these wellness events that we're curating. We had a beautiful cacao ceremony on Sunday, which is really cool. We have Japanese matcha tea ceremonies on Mondays. Yeah, so just bringing a different light to what tattooing could be experienced.
Yeah, that's something too. I mean, I'm not Asian, but I also grew up in a very strict household. Tattoos were very much not allowed. In my own journey, I left home in the 90s after I got my first tattoo, because it wasn't allowed in my parents' house. And today, Gen Z is really approaching tattoos so differently. You know, it's really, it's this experience that we want our customers to feel positive about, and not to feel that negative stigma of that, am I making a bad decision? We really want them to feel like they're walking into, I know maybe it's a high aspiration, but like the Neiman Marcus of getting tattooed, that you come into this beautiful room that smells good and there's skincare, because tattoo aftercare is skincare. So we're really committed to skincare. G1 and I, before we actually opened Lines and started our business, we believed so much in our planning that we invested in our skincare line first. And we are the first female-owned and founded tattoo aftercare skincare brand.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah. So far, until our product, only men had registered aftercare skincare in the tattoo space, which was, you know, sort of interesting to us considering how much women prioritize skincare.
Yeah.
And how much women spend on skincare.
About that, I think at least what was it, Crystal, like most American women walk out with at least 16 products.
96% of American women
of them. I walk out the door every morning with at least 16 different skincare products, and you're telling me that men are the people that you should look to when it takes to taking care of a healed, like a scar on your body?
Yeah. So not to discredit the men in the space, we very much appreciate the work they've done in the field. And we are excited to be here to add to it, truly, because, you know, we are lovers of skincare and deep enthusiasts of learning. So we spent 2 years working on the Big Island of Hawaii with a female-owned farm and cooperative that makes some of the highest quality skincare products in the world. And we chose to partner with them for our product to sort of double the force. Like, they were two women making something great in Hawaii, and we were two women with this big dream in New York, and now we're four.
This is such an incredible story, and I feel like you guys both have such a strong vision of what Lines is, of what Lines could be in the future. But what has been the biggest challenge thus far? Because it does not seem like an easy concept from origin to execution to now being, you know, alive, right? Like, you guys birthed this beautiful business. So can you tell me a rock bottom time, if you both can share either individually or together?
Crystal, want to go first?
Yeah, definitely. The entrepreneurial journey will take you on highs and lows that you never imagined. that's the first. But I would say like one of the, you know, most challenging things along the journey is, you know, when you think you have something and then you don't. And then you think you got there and then you didn't. And then, oh, something happened. Nope, that's going to be delayed. And from day one, we started to meet small disappointments that forced us to challenge our patients and then dig deeper into our own problem-solving skills. And I would say that I've resonated the most. And this is an interesting question, because during our cacao ceremony on Sunday, this was something that we brought up, in how some of these really hard challenges have actually brought some of the most joy and success, because digging into them when it was hard and then coming out of it like, wow, that was amazing. We did that.
Right, what she said. I mean, yeah, so this cacao ceremony that Crystal was talking about was really beautiful, because we really took a moment to put our computers away for once and sit down, and we looked up and the people were there, the people that we had dreamed of enjoying our space and understanding the vision of what Lines could be. And I think that we all connected while we did our journaling, and there were some questions and prompts and said, you know, what were the greatest joys of the opening of the business? For me, it was instantly just getting the keys, seeing the space grow every day into what we had always dreamed it would be. And then there were other prompts, you know, what were some contrast moments, moments of difficulty that were out of your control? And something that really stuck out for me was that, you know, there's been a lot of learning in me being a pretty young entrepreneur and navigating a lot of business relationships, and whether that's personal, mixing in with business, and how learning how to navigate those, people sometimes jumping the gun and assuming my naivety in business, and having to stand my ground and being able to really talk to Lines in the way that I really need it to be seen and for me to be perceived as the business owner of Lines. Yeah. So I think that's what my biggest learning curve has been over the last few months. And it's been a lot of learning in a very short amount of time, for sure.
No, yeah. And just speaking to both of you, 10 minutes, I do feel like you both have this perfect synergy. And though I haven't met you, Crystal, it is beautiful and it does show. Wow. And I wanted to ask, prior to saying yes to this business venture, did you both have a real conversation about perhaps just the overlaps of friendship and business, and how do you handle the different workload? If are there any disagreements that come across, that come about? Like, I'm so curious to hear about that.
This is everyone's first next question.
Yeah,
there was,
I feel like I'm asking all the same questions.
No, it's great. I think we're answering it all at once now. So yeah. For all of your listeners, so that's great. I mean, the easiest thing was that Crystal and my relationship has always been a great working relationship. That's what it stemmed from. It didn't stem from friendship necessarily. And we always had this like incredible level of professionalism where we just really respected one another's work ethic and our ability to move through things and challenges really quickly and fast, and always to be really aligned in what we wanted to achieve together. So honestly, in between us, we've been having very, very little, if any, tribulations between the two of us and all of the things that we've accomplished so far.
We set ourselves up for that too, though. So I'd like to kind of preface with that, G1 and I weren't friends first. I was her boss. We had a mentor-mentee relationship. Mm-hmm. But I like to remind people that G1 and I are a great example of healthy mentor and mentee relationship, because I never put on G1 that all the learning came from me to her. I was learning just as much from her as she was learning from me. We had different things to teach each other. And that still rings true today. And for me, that's a big part of when people are like, wow, why would you have such a young business partner? And it's because I need a young business partner. I believe I do. The only way to, continue to do well in this industry is to listen. And it's important that I maintain a flow of listening to the people I'm mentoring just as much as I'm teaching. And when G1 and I set up our business, one of the first things that we did was we set up recognizing that we were going to go through some really hard stuff. And I would say that that's maybe where a little bit of my expertise was able to come in and say, all right, I've been a manager before. I've failed at jobs before. I've watched people all around me fail. And we reached out to advisors and we started talking with it. We created an advisory board of people that we both saw as mentors to both of us, who gave us a lot of guidance on our interpersonal relationship and how we were going to go through hard times together. It's a business relationship is even deeper than a marriage sometimes. I spend more time with G1 than I do with my own daughter. It's like I opened a bank account with my business partner. Like, this is, it's a very intimate relationship, although it's professional. So we set up, a really healthy guideline of boundaries and advisors. And we also have a regular team therapist within our team. And that's someone who G1 and I meet regularly with to talk about the things that are challenges to us, or if we feel like we need to like go through something that was tough in communication together, we have someone there ready weekly to listen to us. And she also helps guide us with our team, because we want to lead from the top down. That's really important that we set the example that we want around us. So she's really helping us just in such kindness with a lot of team understanding. And even deeper than that, she specifically specializes in trauma-involved practices, which to G1 and I, we felt like that would be so important in our business. Because with tattooing, we're dealing with a lot of personal conflicts or traumas, even among our own artisans and the collaborators that we work with. We're all coming from these different backgrounds. We're all sort of stepping in and out of roles creatively, that we wanted to be strong together between G1 and I, but also strong as a team.
That is such a beautiful foundation that you have set up. And I feel like it truly begins from within the team before you even start anything. So mm-hmm. I love that you have a group therapist that is able to, talk to you individually, because what you're going through, mentally, it truly affects your workspace, and you really want to be in the best headspace before embarking on any business ventures. So I love that. I also know that both of you have backgrounds in other, you've worked in other countries. Mm-hmm. So why New York City?
Ooh, why New York City?
Mm-hmm. Because my, you know, I'm a native. I love interviewing with people who have businesses in New York or, you know, grew up in New York or live in New York. And I'm always curious to know, what is it about the city that drew both of you here now? And of course, Lines is located on Bowery Street, which I grew up literally 10 minutes from there. So I love that block. But yes, why New York?
I mean, I just ended up where all the fashion was.
Yeah, I think in America, it's a little bit of a New York or nowhere. That's right. I mean, for me, when I came back to America.
Yeah, no. So like in America, I feel like it's New York or nowhere. Sometimes yeah. I chuckle a little bit when I hear a lot of New Yorkers or people, you know, within the US saying it's New York or nowhere. And that drives me a little bit crazy because, you know, I think there's so many amazing cities in the world that needs to be explored. That being said, I'm here. I opened my business and committed to staying here for a very long time. So
yeah. So yeah, when it comes to like where we started
about the city.
Yeah, there's I mean, I know G1 came to New York to go to Parsons, and I came to New York in 2015 after 10 years of living in Asia. And the reason I chose New York was because if I was gonna be in America, it felt like, okay, that's the city for fashion and for me. And then also as a retailer, yeah, New York is the most exciting place, right? It's the biggest place to have a flagship. It comes with the most credentials. G1 and I are very much go big or go home girls, obviously. And this is, you know, for us, the first step of a much bigger plan. New York is our flagship where we're really launching and activating, but we do have big plans to grow over the coming 5 years. And that's both nationally within the states and internationally. That's where also some of our backgrounds, both living abroad, really are kind of coming back together with our networks and our opportunities to expand.
Ooh, I love when like boss women have these like great plans that go beyond what it seems. So like national, I support that and I love that. So my podcast is called The City Confessions. And I know we touched upon the business aspect, but I would love to just get a little personal and have both of you share a city confession not related to business.
Okay.
And let me preface this by saying it's however you receive the question. It could be something silly and surface level or something deep and vulnerable. Again, whatever level of comfort you feel, either one of you can go first. So if you can share a city confession with all of us, what would
can
that
you give
be?
Give us some examples of what.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of people say that they have, you know, imposter syndrome, which makes sense. Coming from like models, I know you are one as well. I had a skincare expert talk about all these skincare tips and beauty tips, but then she confesses that she actually like rarely washes her face, which is a contradiction, and it's something funny. I've had people tell me about their sex stories in this, you know, in New York and like subway related, taxi related, just anything. It can be fun, it can be, you know, deep, but related to New York City. And take as much time as you need. It could be
I would say, first of all, G1 and I own a tattoo parlor, and you cannot make up the kind of stuff that we could confess.
That's why.
You like just had somebody in our door listening to what people come in and ask for, or just curious what the wind blows in.
So because my work has become almost consumed my life, I'm trying to figure out what is appropriate for me to share right now, where, you know, I'm still protecting the business, the clientele, and also myself. That being said, maybe I just really need to dig deeper and reach into, you know, experiences that I have outside of Lines, which lately.
Yes, exactly. This is a podcast that sheds light on, you know, who Crystal and G1 are outside of their founder role of lines. Like, I want to humanize both of you. And although it's like respectable and admirable of what you both are doing, I also know that you have a different side and version of yourself. And to be fair, only people who are listening to this podcast will know this confession.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I think a misconception. I'll go. I think that a lot of people see my page on social media. They see me and they outright assume, because of what I'm posting online, that modeling is my greatest goal in life and that it's everything to me. I honestly could not care less about it. Aside from the fact that, you know, it's a great way to live in New York City. You get opportunities as a model that you might otherwise might not have. It's a great way to pay the bill. But honestly, I have been modeling for a long enough time where there's not that much excitement in it for me, but I will take the jobs.
No, I love that. That is
does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. And I think it's so brave of you to say that. But also, I'm sure a lot of other people can relate, not just in being a model, but in another side hustle or job that they have. So thank you for your honesty. Okay, Crystal, I'm handing it over to you.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess full disclosure, it's like, I think that I saw this this like joke on the internet recently that said, like, you'll never see a tourist crying in New York. It's only real New Yorkers that cry here. And I can really relate to that. Like, you know, I mean, I may look like a badass all the time that you see me, but trust, there have definitely been days that I've been like in the park, like under my coat, like in full tears, like, what the fuck? That's a very identifying, confessable New York moment where, you know, like I've even like been in the streets and I've seen some girl just like fully just crying, and you make eye contact and you have that moment where you're just like, oh, I know. I don't know what happened to you, but I know. And I would say, you know, kind reminder to everybody. I mean, my city confessional is definitely that, you know, I mean, I'm not above and beyond like feeling the humanity and the emotion of what happens. I'm just not going to do it here at work in front of y'all. but I do, you know, like to remind people that, you know, we all are faced with a lot here in New York, and especially in the tattoo shop. One thing that we really aspire to be as a wellness center of tattooing is one of the reasons that there's energy transferred when you're giving and receiving a tattoo. And, you know, we've also come to understand that a client can put their energy on the artist. And sometimes an artist will walk away like in tears about a puppy that died because she didn't even know that puppy, but the client sat there telling her about it while she was tattooing her. And, you know, in those kind of moments, I am like reminded like that, okay, no one is above it. We're all like here living, breathing, feeling emotion and connecting with each other. And all of those emotions matter.
Oh, I love that. And I have definitely been that girl who have cried in public, in the streets. And I've never heard that quote before, but that's 100% true. I don't think tourists are crying. They're like living their best life when that they're visiting New York.
Yes. You're only crying here if you're like living here, if your name is signed on a lease. Yes. If
it's so true.
If someone stole your Metro card.
Yes. Okay, we are wrapping up. And at the end, I like to play a quick round of fire questions relating to New York. Okay. So I'm going to ask both of you 5 questions and you can just answer it with the first word that comes up to your mind.
Okay.
So, okay, we're going to start off easy. If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Loud.
Smelly.
What's your favorite thing about the city?
The lights.
The food.
What's your least favorite thing?
The rats.
The food.
What's your go-to spot? like a restaurant or a cafe, where can we always find you?
Lines, New York, 302 Bowery.
Yes, good plug.
I wish I could tell you that I had a different go-to spot.
But that, or if I'm lucky enough, my own bed.
Got it. And then if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
The people.
Definitely the people and the challenges, because if it wasn't so hard, it wouldn't be so fun.
Yes. And I feel like good things never come easy. So it's always about the journey and the experience. So this was such a beautiful conversation and introduction to Lines. I myself can't wait to visit, but this is your chance to just tell the listener what's going on in Lines for the month of December and what do you have in store for the world in 2024.
Lots of exciting things coming. Honestly, too much to just list out. But check out our Instagram, lines_New York.
Yes, or our website. We have our weekly classes every Monday. We have a traditional Japanese tea ceremony that is beautiful. Every Thursday, we have a poetry workshop and a live figure drawing class. On Fridays, we Vogue, which is personally my favorite class of all the classes. It's taught by Father Day-Day from House of Juicy Couture. And it's a 3-hour voguing class that starts with fundamentals. And everyone is so welcome, whatever level you are. It's really a great Friday night. And
we have a Sculpt Pilates class on Tuesday coming up for next week. Yeah. And then
Saturdays for the rest of December, we're doing Saturday vendor pop-up markets, like holiday markets in our store. Not all consignment designers could really get to the level of being here full-time regularly as monthly contractors. So we've opened up for holiday pop-ups and invited them in to sell their products and really try to give small businesses a chance in our space. So we'd really encourage you to come support small businesses on Saturdays if you're buying gifts.
If you are an artist and you want to get involved with Lines, please reach out. You know what our Instagram is now. I can connect you to our team.
Oh yeah. Next week we have this photography exhibition too.
Yes, there's a photography exhibition by Sergio. He's a photographer. Those are almost completely undoctored images of the Death Valley. And there'll be like an opening reception, exhibition viewing, sponsored by Dakota. And yeah, it'll be really
so beautiful. Many fun things happening. Yeah, I'm going to try because you know, what a sun. But yes, because this episode is literally going live tomorrow. People don't know, but it's December 6th now. So it's going to be very timely. And I'm going to have all of the information in the show notes. So be sure to expand on that. I'm so excited for Lines. I feel like you guys are just at the beginning and there's just, you guys are going to just blow up. So I'm calling it now. But thank you so much, Crystal and Jiwon, for being on my podcast. For everybody listening, I hope you got something, you know, meaningful from this, and definitely check it out for events and services, and take this as a sign to get a tattoo. Like, why not, right? Start 2024 with something that's meaningful and whatever speaks to you. So with that being said, I appreciate both of you being on. And for those listening, I will see you on next week for the next episode. All right, bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.